Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Wow. Hey, guys, I'm so excited. Was anybody here last Sunday night? Last Sunday night, Reverend Mike Keyes was in the house. It was a great Sunday night. And I was, I don't know if you guys recall, but at the end, he shared a word. He got this word right. He started speaking in tongues. Maybe that kind of could sound a little bit bizarre to you, but he was speaking in tongues. And then it gave an interpretation, and he gave a word over our church, over this ministry. Really, he recognized what the foundations of our church has been, that we have always been a church that was open to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, and that we would continue to be a house of healing, a healing center, right, where people would be healed. We're seeing miracles happen every time that we gather. And he said that people are going to come from far and wide to see and witness and be a part of what God is doing here, whether it's to be healed, whether it's to be restored, but this is going to be a place where God is moving on the earth. And I don't know about you, I received that word. I was so blessed by that word. I had the video department cut off just that part, and I played it over and over. I sent it to people. I was just so encouraged. And the Lord spoke to me earlier this week. And I know he gave me another word. And I want to share that word that he gave with you guys tonight, because I believe it's important that we understand. So while I know that God was speaking over our church regarding a healing center, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in regards to this service, the overflow. If you recall, about June or July of last year, so for the past 6 months, we have had what we have called the overflow service, where we've always had a Sunday night, as long as I could remember. We'd have a Sunday night service, and we'd gather, and it was open for anyone to come. But starting in July, the young adult ministry, or SHIFT, came into the main sanctuary. We just kind of threw some of our flavor on it, right? Didn't exclude anybody. Everyone was welcome. But some of our teams, our volunteers, our teaching teams came over, and we got to be a part and host what God was doing in this night. And we called it the overflow. And God gave me some scriptures regarding overflow, and it was about how God was going to overfill us and just overflow us with his Spirit. And that's what we're believing for, and that's what we've seen. Has anyone witnessed to that? We've seen an overflow of his Spirit, and we've gotten to opportunities to kind of change a little bit of the agenda. We've had some, opened up the altars. It's looked a little bit different than maybe a Sunday morning or even a Wednesday evening service. But the Lord spoke something to me so profound, and that he said, while that was the name that you thought it was, the name overflow speaks to what is already taking place. So Sunday nights will be an overflow of what's already going on the weekend morning services. Meaning that God's, I as a young adults pastor, we as young adults as a ministry are not trying to start a movement within the church. We are not trying to separate ourselves, start a separate service, try to be overflow and take anything over. Really, what God is going to do, and this was the Spirit of the Lord was telling me, that we will be an overflow of what God is going to do and has been doing in the weekend service. Maybe it doesn't look like a morning service. Maybe the expressions aren't the same. Maybe the agenda doesn't look the same. But it is the same Spirit that we expect, that we anticipate to move. It is the same Jesus that's our Savior, and he's going to continue to move. And even our Sunday mornings might look a little bit different, because when the Holy Spirit starts to show up, as much as we have our agendas, God is moving in this place. God is moving in this house. You guys are at this church planted for such a time as this, and I know I'm just repeating what God has already spoken, that the Rock Church and World Outreach Center will be an influencer around the world. And this service, the overflow, will just get to be another opportunity, another expression of the power that the Holy Spirit has to change lives in this church. Somebody should say amen, because the Holy Spirit and God has awesome plans for our church, has awesome plans for you individuals who build up this church. You guys make up this church. You guys are the church. Once we leave this place, you are the church. You are planted at the Rock. And I just thought that was such an amazing word, such a profound word that took me aback, because I remember I received a word personally before we went off with Overflow. I've shared it with you guys before, how someone had prophesied that the overflow was not going to look how I thought it was. And it hasn't. The last 6 months is some ups, some down, some great challenges, some good, you know, some like, oh man, that was surprising, right? With working with our teams and trying to get people connected and making sure that our young adults still feel they have a place to belong and fellowship and gather. And so we've had some of these great challenges. But that was such a true word, because God was preparing us as the young adults ministry, us as a church, for what he's going to continue to do. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, because I know that was it was something that just kind of not rocked me to my core, but just built me up. It really encouraged me, because it took any pressure off of me as a leader of a ministry. Not that, hey, I'm not trying to make a name for myself, not that I ever was. I'm not trying to start a movement. I don't need to do any of that. God is already moving. God has been moving, and he's going to continue to move. And so we just get to be the vessels that get to be used by him. And I just want to continue to say yes. Does anyone want to say yes to the Holy Spirit tonight? Come on. Man, so we're going to get started. We're going to open in this word. I've been, you know, since the beginning of the word, I love the scripture of the day. Anybody like the scripture of the day? I love how the now on the Bible app, it keeps you accountable. You know, I'm a competitive person, so I like those little streaks that we have. I don't know if you guys like those streaks. I like to see those streaks get up. And I remember, I think I'm on like day 192, hashtag humble brag. I just, you know, there was one time that I remember... I thought I lost, because I got a new phone, and I thought I lost it and opened up again. It went back to one. I was like, no. I was just so frustrated. But then, like, I guess on the cloud, it caught me back up, and I was like, okay. But then at the beginning of the year, in term, you know, maybe you guys are lost, but like there's like the days and then there's perfect weeks, right? Well, it restarted at the beginning of the year. So I'm on perfect week number 3, but my date is still going. So that competitive nature in me wanted to you know, keep that going. So I make sure first thing in the morning, instead of social media or emails or anything like that, text, first thing I do, I open my app. And I love those verse of the days. I at least read the verse of the day, and at times try to go into maybe a reading plan or something like that, right? But that verse of the day, 2-3 weeks ago, it was this scripture, and it just really rolled around in my head, and I just repeated it, and I felt like God was just speaking to me. The more I read it, God was stretching me, and it's a verse that you and I have probably heard, maybe even heard preached on tons of times. And go with me without further ado, right, rolling it out. Just give me the verse already. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, Matthew 4, verse number 4. Turn with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. We'll put it up on the screens if you don't have it. But we're going to read this actually out of the NASB. NASB, Matthew 4, we have that, right? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. I shared the scripture with my wife. She was like, is it because you're fasting? It's like you're talking about bread. Is that why? It's because you're hungry? It's like, no, this was actually 2-3 weeks ago. And I just, like I said, as I was mulling it over and I was just reading it over, the Holy Spirit just started to speak. Anyone just love how the Holy Spirit would just kind of like give you subtle hints? And the more you just, I mean, this is not a long verse. This is not a long verse, but there is just so much impact in it for me. And I want to share that with you, because I know that I felt like God is speaking to us in an amazing way. And if we're not careful, we can miss the subtle things that God wants to say. His Holy Spirit, you know, God talks in a whisper. Why? So we can have to lean in. We can have to lean in. Because sometimes in the noise of everything, we can just get so caught up with every voice, every sound. But when we have to calm ourselves down and lean in, God will speak to us. And if we'll listen, he'll continue to speak to us. Kind of like Pastor Dan was saying this morning. If you get sidetracked, like, I'll stop talking. Go ahead. I'll wait. Right, like, because people start other conversations. I am guilty of doing that often. But the reason why this word was really just so powerful to me is because I took it literally. Like, I cannot live off bread alone. I can't live off of bread alone. What was going on here? So, right, let's set the stage a little bit. What was happening here was Jesus was in the wilderness. He just got baptized, essentially anointed to go off, and he was going to start his public ministry. Before he did that, he went off to the wilderness to fast for 40 days. And the devil, that devil, all up in Jesus' ear, knew Jesus was hungry, said, hey, Jesus, you're powerful. See this stone right here? Turn it into bread. And Jesus quotes a scripture. Jesus quotes the scripture. And actually, let's go with it to the scripture that Jesus is quoting. Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8. Turn with me, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses has the children of Israel. He's led them through the wilderness. He's saying a series of speeches in the book of Deuteronomy, and he's preparing them right as they're about to cross over into the promised land. So before the children of Israel, he's gathering them, and he says, he's talking to the people, talking about God. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives on everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So here's Jesus quoting Deuteronomy. What was happening here? What is manna? You guys have heard of manna. So the people of Israel are in the wilderness. They left Egypt where they were enslaved, but where at least they had a life. There was markets, supermarkets they could gather. They had customs. They had a place. And here they are wandering in the wilderness with no specific food. Right? There's not crops. There's not cattle. There's not herds for them to feed off of. There's not what they were accustomed to. They don't have their delicacies anymore. They don't have their traditions. But here they are in the wilderness with nothing to eat. And God provides manna. And Moses is reminding them of the time and said, look, God gave you manna. Do you know manna? It's assumed to be that manna is from this tree that would secrete. Actually, insects would come and feed off of this tree in the summertime, and its secretions provided like a sweet type of meal. So the children of Israel are gathering manna, and that's what's sustaining them. And that's why when he says, you did not know this meal, this is not your grandma's tortillas, beans, and rice. This is not the recipe that you're accustomed to. This is not, you know, plantains. This is not what you're used to. These are not your traditional foods. You didn't know this. Your ancestors didn't know this. But God provided a way. And so you should not live just on a what you need, but on the word of God. That's a good word for us today. Because I don't know about you, while I'm on this fast, I know that while bread sounds really good, make sure my mouth's not watering. That is not what I can be dependent on. See, because I'll eat and I'll get hungry again. But I need to be dependent on what God is saying. I need to be dependent on what God is saying. So, you know, I want to share this idea with you. Jesus is saying by quoting this scripture, he's telling the devil, he's like, look, while my flesh might yearn for food, while my fleshly desires are speaking loud to me, I'm hungry out here, I don't need bread. More important to me than my fleshly desires, hello, insert your fleshly desires, things that you know you need, things that you know you want, more important to me than that to sustain me is what I need in fellowship from the Lord. Because I'm getting ready to start what God has put me on. You're getting ready to start a new job. You're getting ready to go into a new season of life. Maybe you just got married. Maybe you just got divorced. And you're getting into a new season, and you're going into a new place. More than the natural need that you might have, whether it be finances, whether it be a job, whether it be a better job, you need the direction that the Lord has for your life. You need that fellowship with the Father. So Jesus is saying, I don't need the natural thing. That's what's loud right now. But above that, Jesus was able to see more above that, and that's what we need to do. We need to put ourselves in a position to understand that those things are perishing. Those things are, you know, you guys have heard the parable, better to teach a man to fish than to give a man a fish, right? Right, you give a man a fish, you'll give him a meal. Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime, right? Because he is able to do it. Whereas more important than I need the meal that my body or that fleshly thing is the way and the direction that God had. More important than the manna. See, the children of Israel were being tested in their faith. Can you believe me for tomorrow's provision? Can you believe me for what you need, that I'll take care of those things? But I want you to listen to me. I want your attention because I want to take you into a new season. But I can't do that if all you're doing is listening to the voices around you. I can't do that if all you're doing is focused on what you think you can do in the natural. right, on the budgetary needs that you have. It's great to budget. It's great to plan. It's great to take a calendar. It's a great time to do this at the beginning of the year. But if that becomes the most important thing of your life, if that becomes the solution, then we really miss out. And then I would venture to say that that's what he's talking about. You should not live. While you might be alive, you're not going to really live. And so when I proposed the idea that I felt God was speaking to me, that this is something literal, meaning that, wait, I can't live off of just fulfilling the needs of my flesh, but I have to live off of what God is speaking. I have to believe off what his word is saying. Did you know that the Bible is not a book about stories of things that happened and things that God said? The Bible is a living book of what God is doing and what God is still saying. It's not what he said and did. It's what he's still saying and what he is still doing on this earth. And he's going to continue to speak. Children, will we listen? Will we listen for his direction? Or are we going to chase the things of this flesh? Are we going to chase the bread that we think that we need to sustain us? Are we going to chase relationships that we feel like will make us happy? Are we going to try to fill in the gaps that we feel we have in our life on our own? Or are we going to listen to what God is saying to us and guiding us? Amen. You know, I want to say this because, like I was mentioning, we can have a meal, but then we'll get hungry. What, 4, 5, 6 hours later? Or my wife's pregnant every 2 hours, right? And then you get hungry again. We can go off of those, filling those needs, but then there's just another one. Right, you get out of one relationship into another. You wonder why, like why, what's the matter with me? Or money just burns through my pocket because you felt like you had a need. I had to get that car. I had to get those clothes. I had to get this. I had to get that. I had to keep up with my friends. We had to go on that vacation, and the needs just kind of pile themselves up. But if we can get direction on the word of God, if like the children of Israel in the wilderness, if we can understand, man is going to come. God's going to provide that. We're trying to figure out where the heck we're going because God gave us a promise and we're trying to get to that promised land. People, my brothers, my sisters, there is a promise for you. And can we get to that promised land in our lives? God has given you a promise. My prayer for each and every one of us tonight, preparing for tonight, was that God would give you a word. And I believe the word is this, that God has a promise for your life. He has a place that he wants to take you. He has a purpose for you, for your gift set, for your tools, for your background, for your situations. Well, I didn't think anyone would be able to use me because I had this problem happen. I've been dumped. I've been broken up with. I've been broke. I've lived in my car. I've done this. I've done that. God has a plan for exactly those things. He didn't put you in that car. He didn't put you in these circumstances, but he can sure use it for his glory. And if we can catch this, if we can see this realization, then I know that God can take us into the promised land, into that place where he can be, where we can be used in our full glory, where we can be used in a place that will bring others to the word of God, where we can be the church like we've been talking about this weekend. Oh, man, it's so good. I want to say this. You know, the word live there, where we shall not live off of bread alone. That word live means remain alive, preserve life. So meaning that we shouldn't just remain alive or preserve our life off of the flesh. Our preservation as people is not meeting our needs. And that word proceeds means to come out. Meaning the word that is coming out of the mouth of God, it is active, it is living. What is God saying for us? What is God saying for us? That being said, you know, the title of tonight's message is God's word is life. God's word is life. But we're going to talk about tonight is how do we live off of God's word? Right? If we shouldn't live on bread alone, but off of the word of God, how do we live off of God's word? How do we live off of God's word? Number one, we have to familiarize ourselves with it. Listen to what I didn't say. I didn't say we treat it as common. Right? Because we've been taught what we treat as common will become common. Right? I don't know about you, but I have a couple dusty Bibles at home that just kind of sit there. What we treat as common will become common. But what we familiarize ourselves with, That's what we want to do. We need to familiarize ourselves with what God's word is saying. Be familiar with what he's speaking, familiar with his voice, so that when he does speak, we're not wondering, was that you, God? Was that you? I'll have to pray about it. I have to pray about whether I'm going to church. No, go to church. God is saying, yes, go to church. Get around godly people. God, was that you? Am I supposed to tithe, God? That was God. Let's be familiar with what we already know what God is saying. God has spoken that. These are things that he said and he's continuing to say in our lives. We have to become familiar with the word of God. Sounds so simple, right? Oh, yeah, just know the Bible. That's not what I'm not saying that you have to. I haven't memorized the Bible. I can't memorize the Bible overnight. But what I'm doing by familiarizing myself with it, as cheesy it might sound, that verse of the day blesses me. And then I get into a reading plan. It stretches me a little bit more. And even if you don't read a bunch at a time, man, as much as I had to get into study to prepare and hear the voice of God and what he wants to say, the same Holy Spirit that's guiding me to try to present to you the word of God in such a way that you might be able to understand is the same Spirit that's available for you to get fed. I don't know about you, but when I'm not fasting, I don't eat once a week. I don't eat twice a week. Maybe you're three times a week. I feed myself more than three times in a week. Oftentimes three times in a day, right? So even if you're here two, three times, if that's the only time that you're getting the word or familiarizing yourself with the word, does that make a lot of sense? No, we become familiar when we understand. God, what are you speaking? We're grateful for pastor. God has anointed the office of the pastor to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But that doesn't mean that's the only time that you open your Bible. Oh, time to go to church. Dust it off. There you go. Got my Bible. Right? And then put it back. No, let's familiarize ourselves with it. And this is not to make anybody feel bad about how much you read or don't read. Look, I'm by no means am I boasting about what I do or don't know about the Word of God. But what I do understand, the more I open it, the more I read it, the more I pray, God, help me to understand this, because there is stuff that is so confusing to me. I went to university. I've written papers. I went to Bible college here. There is stuff that I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, Pastor, like, my eyes glaze over. I just can't get it. What are you trying to say, Leviticus? I don't know. Right? Like, God, speak to me. Holy Spirit, put it at a level that my simple mind can understand. The Holy Spirit is faithful. Do you think he's going to say, hey, understand my word, but I'm going to make it so confusing that you won't really know? Would that be a loving God? Look at them try to figure it out. Holy Spirit, Jesus, come over here. These guys. No, that's not a loving father. Although I do remember my son's first step. I have a picture of him falling over like this, and I just watched him fall. It was kind of cute and funny. But I was like, he has to learn how to fall. But anyways, I'm not God. I'm not a good... God is a good father. He doesn't do stuff like that. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we want to talk about familiarizing ourselves with his word. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So that you might be equipped for every good work. It's good for teaching, for correction, for reproof. The word of God is able to teach us, to correct us, to lead us, to shape us, to equip us for every good work. Everything that he's called you to do, his word teaches us how. His word can correct us how. His word can shape the way we think, the way we believe. It can correct us when we get off. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. He's given us a way to understand. It's a map in which we can understand our purpose here on this earth. Look around you. There's tons of unique gifts in this house. Tons of unique callings and purposes where God has placed you where you're at. For a reason. So when we get in the Word of God, we can understand on our own, because through the Holy Spirit, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to go about living our life. I want you to imagine this. You know, say you purchased a weapon, right? The Second Amendment. You purchased a weapon to have in your home for protection, right? In case that you would ever need it to protect your safety, if your safety was ever threatened. You purchase a weapon, but you keep it in the packaging. You never take it out. You never practice. I mean, you have the ammo separate. Now, what happens if someone were to all of a sudden come into your home and threaten you? You've never taken it out. You've never practiced it. All you've done, you've had it for a peace of mind, but you've never used it. You don't know how to use it. Now you're in some trouble if you all of a sudden feel threatened. It's the same kind of thing with the Word of God. Oh, I have a Bible. Oh, I have the Bible app. Oh, yeah, I have a few Bibles, different translations too. But do you ever get to know it? Do you ever see what God is speaking to us so that when we have that challenge, we can know how to use it to defend ourselves from the fiery darts, from those attacks that, like, oh my gosh, if God loves me, why is this? No, God loves you enough that He's equipped you. He's equipped you with His Word. But if we don't listen to His Word, if we don't familiarize ourselves with His Word, how can we ever use it? Let's get familiar with His Word. Is that cool? Number two, listen for direction. I love this one. Listen for direction. Talking about how can we live off of God's Word. God does not want to confuse us. God wants to direct us in our life. He has a plan. He wouldn't just say, hey guys, I have a master plan for all of you. See you in eternity if you make it, right? No. There's a direction for you. And He wants, let me show you in the Word. I love this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in the ESV. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7 in the ESV. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Hidden wisdom of God. A secret and hidden wisdom of God. Now this can sound kind of like, oh my gosh, top secret, confidential. Right? But what He's saying was, before you guys knew Jesus, these mysteries you would have never been able to understand. They were a secret, they were a mystery. But since before the foundations of the earth, I knew you and I had a plan for you. And now that you are followers of me, I want to divulge and share this wisdom with you. I want to tell you all the plans that I have for you, the Lord is saying. Come on, that's a good word. I want to tell you what I want to do with your life. They were mysteries before, but now that you're in fellowship with me, I want to share all of them with you. I want to give you my thoughts about you. Will you listen? Will you listen? Will we get that direction from Him? We can get so confused. So, oh my gosh, who do I marry? What job should I take? What do I do here? What profession? What major? Should I do this? Should I move here? And all these different decisions that, I mean, you don't have to go much on social media. You see all the different ads because they're listening to every conversation that you're ever having. And like, oh my gosh, I didn't even ever search that. They just knew, right? Do I get pepperoni on my pizza? I don't know. But you get what I'm there's a plan for you, and God wants to share His plan. You know a great way to do this? In prayer. In conversation with God. Can we set aside time in prayer to not only just talk, and talk, which I love to do, but I'm trying to teach myself in prayer. As much as I feel like I have a million things I need to ask of God, and I want to worship Him and thank Him, I need to set aside time in prayer to just hush and listen. What is God saying back to me? Don't you, I believe our prayers would be a lot more effective if I prayed what He wanted me to pray. God, what should I be praying for? Hey, God, should I take this job or this job? I don't want you to take either job, but you don't shut up and let me tell you that. You get what I'm saying? God, tell me what I should pray for. Put in my heart your desires for me so that I can pray your will. Because otherwise, we can say, I've been praying for this, and that's not the Word of God. What is the will of God for our life? Maybe you're on the verge of making a business decision. What is the will of God for your life? It seems like it all lines up. It's going to be profitable, right? We've been taught. If it's good for God, it's good for others, it's good for me, hey, green light. But what if all those things kind of line up, but it's not exact, if it's my way, God's, but God likes it, right? Like, it's not really everything that I know, God, but it's just like, it seems like it'll work and it doesn't hurt people. Right, let's figure out what God's plan for our life is. Let's hear his direction. Let's listen for his direction. He wants to speak to us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to share his mysteries for our life. They feel like mysteries. They feel so far away. But they don't have to be. We can listen for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And how do we confirm it? In his word. Number three. Oh, no, actually. Psalm 119, 105, real quick. Familiar verse, but talking about direction. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He will guide our lives, guys. He is not a silent God. He will guide our lives. He puts that lamp and that light in front of us. Maybe he doesn't show us the whole scape right now, but if all you need to go down the path is to see what's right in front of you. And God wants to show and reveal himself to us. We know that he's speaking now, and he's never going to go against his word. Right? Because we talked about how, you know, we say that God, the Bible has every answer to everything we ever need. But if we look at it like, well, if we ask like what house we want to live in, the name of our city probably isn't in the Bible. Right? And in terms of the name of your spouse, kind of limited there. There's a lot of our American cultured names really wouldn't kind of fit the bill, right? In terms of wives, I mean, Mary, Esther, you know, unless that's your wife's name wasn't in the Bible, right? So what does that mean? I'm not saying that the answers aren't in the Word of God, but I'm saying that we have to listen for what God is saying and make sure that it lines up with his word. Right, what he's continuously saying, what's proceeding out of his mouth still, because he is still speaking to us. Because in terms of job, I heard it once, one preacher said, hey, there's no IT techs in the Bible. So when you're talking about direction for a job, you know, shepherd, construction worker, carpenter, like, hey, but God can give us and direct us and give us answers for today. Is that okay? Last one, guys. Last one, we're wrapping up. Number three, talking about how we can live a life, how we can live off of his word. Follow him in faith. I added that in faith part because I think that sometimes we can get so caught up with ourselves when we're talking about how we follow him, right? Because we've gone to prayer, we've gotten direction, now it's time to follow him. But then, was that you, God? And we're kind of just like teetering on this idea. Was that you, God? Was that you, God? If you believe God is speaking to you, and it's in a familiar voice, and it lines up with the word of God, walk that out in faith. Walk that out in faith. And not worry about, was this the ultimate plan? Am I making the wrong decision? Can I be so bold as to say that if you walk it out in faith, God can back you. God can back you. I've made mistakes when I thought this was God's plan for my life. I've missed the mark. But I believe when I've done it in faith, and I wasn't in sin, and I wasn't trying to purposely go against his will, God has backed me. God has supported bad decisions financially. God has supported poor decisions in areas of my life. Is that okay to say, guys? I just don't want us to get so in so much fear. In the trap that fear can do, and the hesitancy and reluctancy, that the thing is, we'll live so our life in such a way that we're always looking back, like, God, was that? Was that? And then we never get to really walk out fully what God is doing. Right? Did I go to the right university? Did I marry the wrong person? You're married. It's over, bro. Like, that's it. Like, did I marry the right person? You're married. You stepped out in faith. Hey, God can do it. God's doing it. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to free us from that idea of like it's bondage. Like if I make the wrong decision, my life is over. Do we have faith in God? Is God a good God? Is God a God of grace and mercy? Hey, that doesn't take responsibility off of listening. That doesn't mean I have a blank check to do what I want, that as long as it's not sin. No, let's listen for the voice of God. Let's familiarize ourselves with his voice and then step out and do it. then step out and doing it. So that's a word for step out and do it. Start that business. Start that program in school. Apply for that job. Step out and do it. God's prompted you already. Don't be in so much fear that it's the wrong decision. God can back you. God can back your faith. How do I know? Because the Word of God says it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That word walk means live. We live by faith and not by sight. Sometimes, hey, God, what's the shortest way from point A to point B? That's the wrong question. God, what is your way from point A to point B? I don't know about you. When I drive, I feel like I'm a, what's it called? I have pretty good memory, right? I have pretty good recollection. I go to your house once. I feel like I can find my way. But sometimes I can doubt myself while I'm driving. I think I know where I'm going, right? On the freeway, okay. Yeah, all right. More or less this freeway to that freeway, okay. All right, so I'm going. But then all of a sudden, if it starts not to look familiar, I get this feeling like, oh, something doesn't feel right. All of a sudden, get a little bit anxious. And I'm like, turn on the maps. I thought I knew it. Turn on the maps, right? Tell my wife. All right, like turn off that maps, right? Like that's, I know how to get there. But all of a sudden, if I feel like something doesn't look right or doesn't feel right, all of a sudden I need to turn on the maps. Because I don't get how am I, I'm driving through a desert right now, but I'm going to the beach. This doesn't, it just doesn't feel right. But sometimes God's way for our life might look like that. But if we're so bent on, well, wait, this doesn't feel familiar. I was just trying to go the shortest way, God. Did you hear me? The shortest way from point A to point B. I want to be successful, so take me there now. But sometimes that way might look like going through the desert before you get to the beach. Sometimes that look like, wait, like, God, why'd you take me up this alley, take me all the way down here just to get, like, wasn't there a shortcut? With God, we don't want the shortcut. Yeah, I've heard it said so well that we need to develop the character to maintain where God wants to take us. And sometimes that looks like going through a wilderness that we didn't plan. Sometimes that looked like a crooked line in the point of life, right? From point A to point B, that might look a little bit crooked. But I want to know God's way. And I want to follow, and I don't want to be afraid. I want to hear his direction. I want to familiarize myself with his word. And then I want to hear what he's saying, do it, and then walk it out. If you got something from the Word of God today, let's praise him.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.